in the house of the Lord tonight. We're going to begin with our theme course, The Bond of Love. It's found on page 281. If you need to have assistance there in the second verse particularly. So let's join together with The Bond of Love, followed by hymn number 345. And let's stand together and sing praises to our God tonight. We are one in the bond together singing. Assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, singing. That third verse, we're going to ask you to watch carefully with me in the chorus, because I'm not just up here swinging my arms for exercise. We'll find out in this verse. We get to the chorus, watch me carefully. Sarah, watch me carefully. Gladys, watch me carefully. Church, watch me carefully. I don't want to sing alone, but we're going to kind of change a little bit, kind of like the Billy Graham Choir does that last version in the chorus. So not that we're trying to show them up or anything, but it's a great song. And you know, it's marvelous assurance to know that we can know that we know we're saved, born again. So singing the third verse, follow with me if you will in the chorus, and we'll have a fun time sharing together. Doesn't put you on shouting ground, you need to have a new experience. Thank you.
It is Wednesday night already. It is amazing. We've anticipated the revival services for a couple of months. We've prayed diligently for it. And you know what? The Lord has shown up each and every night. And the truth of the matter is the Lord was never the variable. It was us. if we bother to show up, if we show up with an open heart, we didn't have to really wonder if the Lord was going to show up. And my, what great services that we have had. And the truth is, the Apostle Paul gave some inspired advice to the church in Galatians. He said, "Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Paul seems to be saying, at least a little bit, that the Lord's ready, and the more we plug into what the Lord's doing, the more we make ourselves available, the more we sow in Him, the more we sow in Him, the more that God is going to bless us with. And God has blessed. And we are so thankful. You know, we go into a set of services. We pray for revival, and the fires are being stoked each and every night. God has truly blessed what we have sown. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray tonight that you would find us faithful. Because the truth is, we know that you're going to be faithful. But so often, Lord, we allow circumstances, we allow things that we think we need, we allow a lot of different worries to enter into our life, and sometimes we find our faith beginning to slip just a little bit. But Lord, we pray that through these moments of revival and renewal, that you would, through your grace, build up and strengthen our faith so that we would be found faithful. Faithful tonight, faithful tomorrow, faithful in the coming weeks. That we would find ourselves being true to your message, not only in our lives, but allowing that message to just overflow. Mm-hmm. Lord, may the fires of your love burn in us, because just like you told the church at Ephesus, Lord, if we don't have love, we can't be your church. So we pray for the fires to burn bright. And Lord, we thank you again for your servant. And we know that he was anointed for this moment and for these days. And we know tonight already, without asking, that you're going to give him the exact words. Not only the words, but even how to speak those words to us tonight, Lord. And so, Lord, may your Spirit descend upon Brother Bobby. May your Spirit descend upon each and every one of us here tonight. We want to sow, Lord, our lives to you, that you might build us up so that you can send us out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In singing the next song, we will dismiss our children again, the ages 3 through 6, age 3 through age 6, to go to their place of worship for the remaining time. Then following this special selection, or this selection rather, we'll have two special selections. Brother Mark Muller is going to come and share testimony and song, and that was requested that our Robinson family and the Robinson youth come and sing that number they did Sunday here so wonderfully to bless our hearts. So immediately following this number, dismissing our children up through age 6, then the two specials before Brother Bobby comes and shares what God has laid on his heart. Will you stand together? 404, "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." Joining together, let us sing. you, church, and you may be seated.
Pilgrims on the journey, on the narrow way. And those who've gone before us line the way. Cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. There lies a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. For all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful, and may the fire of our devotion light their way, and may the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us
faithful. This video is full of godly men and women who have come before us and invested their time to teach younger generations to sow seeds of mercy, grace, kindness, and faith.
weathered skin, her old straw hat and crooked grin. And she said, child, let's make this garden grow. Let's till the soil and pull some weeds. And here's your bag of precious seeds. Cause grandma's got a secret you should know.
Fall down hard and fast, cause life is cruel. If you've ever reached to help a friend, the hand you held may lift you up again. What goes around comes back around, you know? Exactly what you sow.
So mercy, so
well, I've been there before. Sometimes at Barano we'll have revival on Sunday morning. We'll have an evangelist that's driving in from a good distance, and a lot of times they'll want to drive in that Sunday morning, whether it's 2, 3, 4 hours, and it gets around 11 o'clock and I'm looking for the evangelist. So I've been there before, but I'm here. I just changed directions a little bit. I was sitting there last evening. I just kind of move around according to where, whatever. But anyway, it's good to be in the Lord's house with you this evening. Are you glad to be in the Lord's house? Amen. Let me say it's been a delight to be with you folks this week, starting Sunday morning through this evening. It's been an honor. I told you I've preached in a lot of different places. God's allowed me or opened doors for me to preach in a lot of different places, and I made the statement Sunday morning. I've never been any more humbled by being asked to come and preach in Turbeville at the Southern Methodist Church. And because it's somewhat of a surprise, but let me say thank you for allowing me to come and share God's word with you. I trust that you've looked into the word of God, and the word of God has looked into you over these last few days. And I trust this evening, as we look into the word of the Lord tonight, that the word of God will look once again into your hearts, maybe bring some transformation into your life, and maybe challenge you to draw close to the Lord in your own relationship, and hopefully sow some seeds to the next generation. If you have your scriptures this evening, if you'll turn with me to the book of Judges chapter 2. I told you last evening that as I closed out the service, at least my part of the service last evening, I said the most important and serious question that you could ask yourself is, how is your relationship with the Lord? You may remember that. I may have phrased it a little bit differently last evening, but that was the essence of what I was saying. The most important, the most serious question that you will ask and answer in your journey through life is, how is your relationship, or how is my relationship with the Lord? I'm of the opinion this evening that the message that I'm going to be proclaiming this evening, the message that I'm going to be sharing with you, is the most important message that the church needs to hear. No doubt if you're lost, you need to hear a message of salvation, but if you are a part of the church, the message that I'm sharing this evening from my perspective, and you've got the privilege to disagree with me, and that's perfectly fine, and I have no problem with you disagreeing with me. That's okay. I preach to people all the time that disagree with me. So I'm an Armenian, and I've got Calvinists that sit in my church, and I preach to them on a regular basis. And if I know I'm preaching something that they don't agree with me on, I'll kind of look at them and just smile. And so, like, I got the platform, and you don't, and I'm spreading my message, and you can't. But anyway, that's really not fair. But so you got the privilege to disagree with me this evening if you desire. But the message that I'm proclaiming, I think, is the most important message that the church needs to hear. And it's simply entitled, The Next Generation. The Next Generation. Judges chapter 2, verse 7, down through around verse 15. Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, down through verse 15. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the borders of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel, they did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers, who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. The next generation. And just one more time before I begin preaching, thank you for your presence this evening. Your revival has been well attended. And how do I know that? Well, I'm just basing that off of my church and the attendance that we have at revivals at my church. Well attended. A lot of young folks each night, and that's good. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for the folks from Barano. I know I got a few Barano folks that are slipping out from church tonight, and they're in here with us, and that's okay. That's okay. We won't tell anybody, but that's okay this evening. The next generation, a message I try to preach wherever the Lord opens a door for me to preach. The next generation. God has no grandchildren. You've heard that statement more than once, probably. Either you are a child of God or you're not a child of God. He has no grandchildren. My great-grandfather, Mac Henry Floyd, was a holiness preacher. My grandfather, Hubert Floyd, was a holiness preacher. My daddy, Bobby Ray, he was a lot of things, but a preacher. A preacher was not one of them. He did get saved at 64 years of age before he went to meet the Lord at 67. And just a little funny story about daddy. After daddy got saved, I had the privilege of baptizing my father, which is unusual, but after my daddy got saved and I had witnessed to my daddy, very difficult to witness to your daddy whose father was a preacher who knew what he should be doing and knew the life that he should have been living and how he should be committed to the Lord. But I asked daddy after he got saved, I said, why did you wait till you were 64 years of age to get saved? He said, well, son, that's easy. I said, why is that easy? He said, well, whenever I was in there with Dr. Sperlin, he had cirrhosis of the liver, my daddy did. He said, whenever the doctor told me I had 3 years to live, he said, I realized I was going to die and I better get right with the Lord. But anyway, my daddy was not a preacher. But regardless of what my great-grandfather was, regardless of what my grandfather was, and regardless of what my daddy was, I wasn't going to get into the kingdom of God on their shirt tails. I wasn't going on Mac Henry. I wasn't going on Hubbard. I wasn't going on Bobby Ray. Whenever I stood before the Lord, I was going to stand before the Lord as Bobby Floyd, and I was going to give an account for my actions and my relationship that I had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Either you are a child of God or you're not a child of God. Now, since God has no grandchildren, you are either a child of God or you're not a child of God, it is important that we as the body of Christ, that we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, take the faith that we have received, the faith that we have, the gospel that we have, and pass that faith to the next generation. I'm going to stress that one more time because that's an important statement that I just made. Since there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God, we who are a part of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility, we have a duty, we have an obligation to take the faith that we have received from the Word of God, from our mother, from our grandmother, from whomever it may be, and pass that faith to the next generation. Because the next generation, the Church of Jesus Christ, is only one generation from extinction. There's only one generation from extinction for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not pass our faith to the next generation, the potential is present that there will be no church in the next generation. Now, as we begin to look into this text stresses to us the importance. It really drives home the importance of us passing our faith to the next generation. Now, as you begin to look at this text, you need to first notice in verses 7 through 10 that there are three distinct and different generations that are present in this text. Oftentimes, whenever you read through Judges 2, verses 7 through 10, you will think there's only two generations. But there's three generations that are present in this text. The first generation is the generation of Joshua. The scripture says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now, if you remember, just kind of reminding you of some biblical history, you may remember that there were only two people out of Joshua's generation that made it into the land of promise, Joshua and Caleb. You may remember the story. The Israelites were in the land of Egypt. God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, across the Red Sea, carried them in up to the pretty well to the gates of the promised land. Then 12 spies were commanded to go out into the land, to search out the land. 12 spies went in, Joshua and Caleb were two of those spies. You may remember they came back and they said, it's just as the Lord has promised. This is a prosperous land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's everything that God said it would be. But there's only one problem. The men in that land, they're giants. They are huge people, and there's no way that we could ever conquer this land. And those 10 spies basically overruled Joshua and Caleb and convinced the entire nation not to go in and take the land that God had promised them to take. God said, if that's what you want, that's what you can have. He says, but just remember this, only two people out of this generation will go into the land of promise. That will be Joshua and Caleb. Everybody that's over the age of 20, they're going to die in the wilderness wandering. So the first generation is the generation of Joshua. You continue reading in verse 7. The second generation, in all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. Now, who are these elders that outlived Joshua? Well, it's not the elders from the generation of Joshua and Caleb, because there's only two people that made it out of their generation. So the elders that outlived Joshua would be the elders that came in the next generation. It would be those young men and young women, those individuals that were just little toddlers and just young teenagers that crossed the Red Sea and had spent time at Mount Sinai and went to the land of promise and saw how that land was prosperous and beautiful, but they wouldn't go into the land. It would be those young men and young women under the age of 20 that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, who saw God provide manna, who saw God provide quail, who saw God provide water from a rock, who saw God provide clothing for 40 years that never wore out, shoes that never wore out. They saw the mighty works of God. They seen the mighty hand of God in their lives. It would be that generation. So you got the first generation that is Joshua's generation, Joshua and Caleb. The second generation would be those elders that outlived that lived longer than Joshua, that would be under the age of 20, that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Then you got the third generation that we need to make reference to. Look at verse 10. It said, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers. Now, what generation is that making reference to? Back up in verse 7. All the elders that outlived Joshua. That's the generation that it's making reference to. And whenever all that generation had died, the scripture says, another generation arose after them. So basically, the children of the elders, they are alive now. They are living. Okay, so you got three different generations. You got Joshua's generation. You've got the generation that outlived Joshua, that would have been living in the land of Egypt. They would have crossed the Red Sea, the Jordan, and would have been in the land of promise. And then you got the children of the elders. Three distinct generations. We need to remember that. What's the title of the message? The next generation. Passing our faith to the next generation. Now, as you understand that, those three distinct generations, now we want to see how each generation affected the next generation. Now you look at Joshua's generation, back up in verse 7. It said the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. All the days that Joshua lived, the people of Israel served the Lord. What does that indicate to me? It indicates to me that Joshua was a great man of faith. It indicates to me that Joshua was a great man of influence. He influenced the next generation, because there was only him and Caleb out of that generation. He influenced the next generation for the kingdom. He passed his faith, the faith that he had seen in Moses, the faith that he had seen in some of those other leaders. He passed that faith to the next generation. He had a great faith and a great influence on the next generation. You turn back with me to Joshua chapter 24. Just kind of flip back towards the book of Genesis, maybe just a page or two, and you'll be in Joshua chapter 24. Verse 15 of Joshua 24 is a verse that we probably get posted in our houses and we hear all the time. Very important, that connects us with Judges chapter 2. Joshua is basically giving his farewell speech to the nation of Israel in Joshua 24. It'll be the last time that he speaks to some of these people, because the land has been divided. They don't have computers. They don't have internet. They don't have mail such as we have. So they will be scattered and moving to their different inheritances. So he says in verse 15 to 24, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But listen to the last little phrase. But as for me and my house. But as for me and my house. You know what we're going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. He's a man of influence. He's a man that has faith. Drop down to verse 21. How does the nation of Israel respond to his influence and his faith? He's passing his faith to the next generation. He's saying, I won't see you fellows anymore. You'll be going back to your homes and you'll be separated from me, and I may not see you again. I may die before you see me. But you remember this. You take this back to your house with you. As for Joshua and his house, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to remain faithful to the Lord. You do whatever you want to do. I can't control your decision. I can't make you serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Now you respond and you make your own decision. Drop down to verse 21. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. They are receiving the faith that Joshua is passing to them. He's influencing and impacting the next generation. Now the elders, let's go back to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Joshua has passed his faith to the next generation. I ask you this question. Are you being effective in passing your faith to the next generation? What influence do you have on the next generation? You say, well, I don't have children, or I'm not even married yet, or I'm old and my children are gone and I don't have really any influence on children. Man, there's children running around everywhere here. That's a good thing. Amen? That's a good thing. You may not have any children. Well, that's okay. Your children may be up and big and you've already been successful as a parent. That's even better. You know what you're doing. Possibly. I don't know. That's questionable too. But things have turned out good for you the first time. Impact, influence the next generation for Christ. It doesn't have to be your child. It doesn't have to be your niece. It doesn't have to be your nephew. It can be some stranger down the road that doesn't have a father figure in their life. It doesn't matter who it is. Impact them for Christ. Pass your faith to the next generation. Are you being influential? Are you being a good steward of what God has entrusted to you? And each child that you see, that's a gift from the Lord. It doesn't matter how they came here, how they got here. I'm telling you, it is a gift from God. Every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, and in whom there is no variation. Be a good influence. I read about Hudson Taylor. Some of you may know Hudson Taylor or have known of Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China. Very influential in the China, in the culture there in China. He had such influence that the communist government wanted to discredit him as a missionary. So they hired an atheist author to go and do research on Hudson Taylor, to write a biography about him, to discredit him so that he would lose his influence in the China culture. After much research, this author, and the Spirit of God getting a hope to this author finding out just how Christ-like Hudson Taylor was, he renounced his atheism, put his pen down, and committed his life to Jesus Christ. May I remind you, Hudson Taylor was dead whenever this man was doing the research. But yet his influence, his impact on the next generation was so great that an atheist renounced his faith, put down his pen, and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. What am I preaching? I'm preaching we need to pass our faith to the next generation. We need to be a generation that is influencing and impacting our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors' kids for the cause of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Joshua was an impactor. He influenced the next generation. These elders received it. Continue reading with me. In verse 7, it says, in all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, not only did they serve the Lord all the days of Joshua, but they served the Lord all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. As long as those elders who had been under the leadership of Joshua were living, the nation of Israel served the Lord. They were committed to the Lord. They had their faith. They lived their faith out. That's good. They had experience and they had seen what God had done for the nation of Israel. You got to remember, these were the little kids that come out of Egypt. They were the ones that come across the Red Sea. They were the ones that were at Mount Sinai and saw all the great things of God at Mount Sinai. They were the ones that had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with the manna and the quail and drinking from the rock. They were the ones whose shoes never worn out and their clothes never got old. That's the generation that was serving the Lord after Joshua had died. They had experienced the work of God. They had seen the word of God lived out. They had received their faith from the next, from the generation that had gone before them. But what did they do with their faith? That's the question. What are we doing with our faith? As you look back in the text, the scripture says in verse 10, you got to remember, Joshua passed to the elders. The elders received. But what about the elders? What did they do with the faith that they had received from Joshua? Did they pass their faith to the next generation that arose after them? And the scripture says in verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, sad verse, verse 10 is, another generation arose after them. That third generation is rising up. What kind of spiritual condition are they going to have? What kind of faith are they going to have? And the scripture says, who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. We kind of rush over that verse sometimes in the book of Judges, but that is a very sad verse. They did not know the Lord. They did not know the works which the Lord had done for Israel. The elders had failed to pass their faith to the next generation. They had failed to pass the word of God to the next generation. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I'm not turning there, but you can just mark it or maybe make a mental note and look at it later. But God instructs through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. He instructs the nation of Israel. You teach the word of God to the next generation. You teach the word of God to your children. You teach the word of God to your grandchildren. And you know, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 instructs us as the fathers of the home, the spiritual leaders, to teach the word of God to our children. And I ask you, are we being effective in passing our faith to the next generation? Do we teach our children the word of God? Do you sit down with your children and read the word of God? Do you sit down with your children and talk about spiritual matters? Do you sit down with your children and your grandchildren and pour Jesus Christ into them? That's a question that you have. That's a question that I have to answer. Do I always do it effectively? Absolutely not. Do I try? Sometimes I try, and sometimes I'm just trying to make it. I'm just being honest with you. That's just how life is at times. But what I need to be conscious about and what you need to be conscious about, no matter what's going on in your life, there's nothing more important than you passing your faith to your children, to your grandchildren, and to the next generation of people that's coming along after you. They did not know the word of God. They did not know the Lord. Not only did they not know the word of the Lord, notice what the text says, nor the work which he had done for Israel. These elders that had outlived Joshua, they had seen God do some mighty things. You think of, just go back in your mind, and I've already mentioned several of them. They were there whenever they crossed the Red Sea. Some of them may have been 3 or 4 years old, but I'm thinking, if I saw a sea split and I walked across on dry ground, even if I was a young man, that thing would be mentally etched into my mind. They had seen, they had been at the Mount Sinai whenever God showed up. You may remember that. And Moses came down and he didn't even realize the glory that he had on his face. They were there. They were there whenever God fed them the manna, whenever God fed them the quail, whenever God gave water out of the rock. They were there whenever the Jordan split. They were there whenever they walked around Jericho 7 times on the 7th day and the walls came tumbling down. They were there time and time again whenever God showed up and God showed out. Yet they didn't have the time to go and tell their children what God had done in their lives. Don't let that happen to us. If God's done something for you, if God's brought you from somewhere, if God's delivered you from something, you tell your children, you tell the next generation what God's done in your life. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus Christ has done, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. They passed their faith. The elders received it from Moses, from Joshua. Joshua passed to the next generation, but these elders failed to pass it to their children. And I often wonder, I said, why? Wonder why these elders didn't pass the knowledge of the word of God? Why didn't they tell their children about the works which the Lord had done? All I know is it says they did not know the Lord nor the works which the Lord had done for Israel. Don't know why they didn't tell them, but I can speculate. You think about it for a moment. Just use a little bit of sanctified, creative imagination. Imagine you going into a new land. You've been a slave. You've been wandering for 40 years. The manna's cut off. The quail's cut off. You don't have food when you wake up in the morning. You've got a family. You're Philip Robinson. You've got 9 children to provide for. You think about that. I mean, you got mouths to feed. You wake up in the morning time. If you're not careful, you know what you're going to be concerned about that day? Food, water, the essentials of life, the necessities of life. It wasn't going to come down up out of the air as a quail. There wasn't going to be some kind of manna, coriander seed that just pops up and you can just start eating. You've got to start providing for your family. And you think about that. These elders that went into this land, more than likely what they were doing was good stuff. They were probably doing positive stuff. They were providing for their families. But in the midst of them providing for their families and providing the necessities for living, somehow or another they got sidetracked and they did not pass their faith to the next generation. But notice this. Whenever you don't show up to pass your faith to the next generation, somebody else will. When you don't show up to pass your faith to the next generation, your neighbor down the street, he'll be more than glad to show up and to pass his faith to your children. Notice verse 11. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. While the elders were busy living life, probably doing some good stuff, those foreigners in that land with those strange gods saw it as an opportunity to capitalize and to share their faith, to share their God with those young people. And you know what they do? They do it. They share their gods with these young people. And though these here generation that rose up out of the elders, after the elders, did not know the Lord nor the works of the Lord, who did they know? They knew the Baals. Who did they serve? They served the Baals. They didn't serve the Lord God Jehovah, Yahweh. They didn't serve the God of Israel, but they served those foreign gods. Why? Because somebody had taken time to pass their faith to the next generation. And if we don't step up, if we don't get ready at the plate, somebody else is going to come along and they're going to pass their faith to the next generation. I read an article some time ago. Do you realize that there's 78 millennials living in the United States? You say, well, who is a millennial? A millennial is the age group that was born between 1980 and 2000. 1980 and 2000. There's several millennials in here this evening. And they say there's about 78 million of them living in the United States. You say, well, what's so important about that? Research tells me that the church has spent more money and reaching those 78 millennials than any other age group in the history of this country. We have poured money after money into reaching this age group, but we've done it without success. They tell me millennials are leaving the church in leaps and bounds. What's going on? Somehow or another, we're missing the mark. We're throwing money at a problem whenever we should be throwing relationship at a problem. We're trying to, we'll feed the money. We'll feed the money. But what about getting in their lives? What about pouring into their lives? What about loving them and loving God and passing your faith on to the next generation? We're failing as a church to reach the millennials, and it's because we're trying to throw money at a problem and other things at a problem when we should be giving ourselves and pouring Jesus into the lives of these children. Sometimes they're just wanting relationship. And as we have relationship with them and we have relationship with God, then they can have that same relationship with us and that same relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens? What happens? Very sad as to what happens. We want to avoid what happens. The scripture says they forsook the Lord, verse 13. They served the Baals, they served the Ashtaroths, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. They walked in disobedience to the word of God. They did not know the work of God, and the Lord became very angry at them, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers and plunderers, and he sold them into the hands of the enemies. That generation was lost because the elders had failed to pass their faith to the next generation. I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen at the Turbyville Southern Methodist Church. I don't want to see that happen at the Barrano Church. I don't want to see that happen at the Baptist Church over here, and I don't want to see it happen at Horse Branch. I don't want to see it happen at the Great Commission or Central Holiness or what other church it may be. It doesn't matter the church. If they're Protestant, if they're Bible-believing, God-fearing people, I want to see that next generation rise up for the cause of God's kingdom and impact this world and this country and our communities for the power of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. May we as elders and older people in the church catch the vision this evening to impact the next generation for the cause of Christ. I know they get on your nerves. Let's just be truthful. I'm living with four teenagers. You see this bald head? I'm just teasing. Four teenagers, I live with them. Three of them are girls. Yeah. You think that's, I love my girls though. It's that boy that, anyway. But Laura loves him, so it all works out. But I know they get on your nerves at times. I know they do things a little bit different at times. I know they probably stretch you at times. But let me tell you, they are a gift from the Lord. And impact and influence them for the cause of God's kingdom. Because if you're not impacting and influencing them for God's kingdom, I promise you there's somebody down the road. It may be a drug dealer. It may be somebody else that's impacting and influencing them. But I'm telling you, somebody's in the life of that young man, that young woman's life, and it needs to be you. And if it's not you, somebody else with less morals and less values and a whole lot of trouble will be pouring into their life, and ultimately that will lead to their destruction if they don't get off of that path. So may we be challenged at Turbyville Southern Methodist Church this evening. Take the faith that we received and let us pour it into the lives of those who are coming behind us. It doesn't matter if it's your own child, if it's your grandchild, whether it's your niece or your nephew, or just some fellow from down the road. Pour into the lives of the next generation for God's glory. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're very thankful. We're thankful for your word this evening. We're thankful, Lord, for the power of your word. And we're thankful, Lord, for this text this evening. It reminds us. It teaches us. It stresses to us. It challenges us to be faithful. To be faithful to those who are following behind us. And to pass our faith to the next generation. Now, Father, I just pray now that you would just challenge us as we close this service out and as we close out these series of services. And I pray, Lord, that you would just allow us to move in the power of your Holy Spirit and to affect and be effective for the cause of your kingdom as we move forward from this place this evening. In your Son's name, amen. My wife says I always say this, but I'm going to close things a little bit different this evening. She says I always say that. My messages are always different. Everything's always different. But I am going to do things a little bit different this evening. I'm going to make some young people uncomfortable. Amen? And that's okay. If you're 20 years old or younger, 20 years old or younger, how about stand to your feet this evening? I thought Pastor Rodney was fixing to get up. I said, brother, you're not. Now, if you're 20 years or younger and you're standing on your feet, I want you to come line up across this altar as our musicians begin to play softly. 20 years or younger. These are gifts. Gifts from the Lord. Just line up across this. And you turn around and look at them just like I'm looking if you want to. Just kind of spread out across the front. If you're 20 or younger, 20 or younger, y'all turn and look at the congregation. Now, how many of y'all like this here? Probably none of you. That's okay. Isn't this beautiful, though? Isn't this beautiful? You should be shouting to the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at this. Space out a little bit more, get spacing. Ain't like we're playing basketball. You got to get your spacing right. Get a little bit of more spacing. Just there you go. That's good. Just want to make sure you're not crowded. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yes. Yes. And if the Lord tarries his coming, they're going to place you somewhere in a grave. And these folks are going to be picking up the mantle that you leave behind. Pour your life into them. Pour relationship into them. Pour relationship into them. Hallelujah. Now, if you will stand with me in the congregation. I love children. You may not know that. But I love children. I even love mine sometimes. Now, what I want us to do is, and we, I know it might be a little bit different than what you're accustomed to, but it's my last night, and y'all can run me off after the night anyway because I'm going back to Barano. And I left in good terms whenever I left this past week, so I guess I'm still in good terms at Barano. But what I want you to do, if you've got a child or a grandchild, niece or a nephew, or if you don't have anybody, just any relationship, whatever to you whatsoever, across this front, it really doesn't matter. But you love the Lord, and you want to see these young people be successful in their spiritual walk. I want you to just come, and I know everybody can't get up here, but I want you to come and get close to one. And I want you even to take your hand and just place it on their shoulder, maybe, if you will. I know that might be a little bit different, but step out. It might make you a little bit uncomfortable, but that's perfectly fine. You find you somebody. If you've got a child, I would encourage you to get with your child. If you've got a grandchild, I would encourage you to get with the grandchild. If you don't have anybody, I would encourage you to get with somebody. Just that I realize we might get a little bit packed in here, and that's perfectly fine. But what we're doing by this is we're symbolically saying, Lord, I've received the faith. I'm walking with you. But you know, that's just not quite everything that I want. I want to leave an inheritance. I want to leave a legacy. I want to pass my faith to the next generation. And we're going to close in prayer, those of you. Y'all look good up here. Thank the Lord for the young children. Thank the Lord for the teens. You're doing something right. Keep doing what you're doing right. Keep passing your faith to the next generation. And I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, we're going to sing. Amen? Right. And y'all pray with me as you lay hands on these folks. Father, we are very thankful for these children, these young men, these young women that are gathered across the front of this church. We're thankful, Lord, that they've been in attendance on many, many occasions through this revival. We're thankful for the parents and the grandparents and the guardians that have brought them into this house of worship. And Father, as we come to the end of this service and to the end of these revival services, Lord, I pray that this church has caught my heart this evening, that they see the importance and the need of passing their faith to the next generation. Yes, it's good for them to have their relationship intact with you, but Father, we need more than that. We need to pass our faith on to the next generation. We need to impact them and influence them so that one day they'll be standing where we're standing now, and they'll be passing faith that they receive from us on to the generation that's following behind them. Father, I pray for this church. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring love into this church like it's never experienced before. I pray, Lord, that you would create vision within this church, Lord, that they might reach out and they may become everything that you would have them to be. They may reach their full potential in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for the young people that's gathered in this church. I pray for the teachers that work with them Sunday after Sunday and week after week. At times, no doubt, they get weary and well-doing. Sometimes they feel like their efforts are in vain. But Father, I pray that you would breathe in their ear and let them see the importance of what they're doing, and just give them that spiritual, just that spiritual strength and encouragement, just to continue moving forward in the power of your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we just wrap this church up in prayer. We wrap these young people up in prayer, and I pray, Father, that you would just help us to be faithful and passing our faith to the next generation, so that the next generation will rise up in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn this world upside down for your glory. And we pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Said young folks a little bit. Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May God's grace shine upon you. May you find favor with Him as you walk with Him. And may you be challenged to continue to do what you're doing, impacting and influencing the next generation for Christ.
Amen.
Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap your reward.
Right.
Amen. May the Lord bless you. And I've enjoyed being with you this week, Pastor Rodney.